Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Are you ready for some funny travel fails? If so, you're in the right place. Tripping Up is back with another exciting episode where we are celebrating the times when travel goes wrong and how it can kind of be the best part of travel. I'm your host, Nina Clapperton, author of the travel blog Nina Out and About. Our guest this week is Phil Mutters. Phil is a really interesting guy. He's been to over 95 countries, which is something that I can only hope to attain. He's really interested in the culture of a place, the people, the history, not just going for the Instagram perfection, getting that quick shot and getting out. He's been recording all of his adventures on his blog, Journication, where you'll find him talking about useful tips, practical summaries, and personal recommendations. And you know how I said he wasn't into Instagram alone? Well, he's still into Instagram because he's got some stunning photos. I highly recommend you take a look. But that's after you listen to this amazing episode where I chat all things travel fails with Phil Mutters. Let's dive right in. This is Phil on Tripping Up.
Now boarding.
Hi, Phil. Welcome to Tripping Up.
Hi, Nina. Thanks for having me.
We're so excited to have you, and I'd love you to tell our audience a bit about how you travel and why you travel.
How to travel. I do basically all forms of traveling. So I did in the past big solo trips. I travel with friends, with family, or in big groups. And also I'm doing all kinds of travel, like backpacking, city trips, big road trips, and round trips, whatever. So I think from my perspective, it all depends on the destination and especially the time frame you have. So I prefer the backpacking, more unplanned adventure if you have a lot of time. But I can also go to very structured, very planned ahead traveling when I know that time is the limiting factor. And why do I travel? That's a very good question. And I think for me personally, it's to see and experience new things, to leave the personal comfort zone, the familiar frame of your country, your culture, society, and see exotic places and especially to learn from the new impressions you get from the people you meet, whether these are locals or other travelers from all over the world. I think for me it's all to learn about new things and to meet conditions and people who are just different than my own upbringing and culture. Yeah.
That's such a great way of saying it, because I think that is like a really big part of travel is the unfamiliar and changing it up, getting new perspectives. I really like that you also have that mix of background. I think a lot of people, like, they pick one and then they think they have to stick with it. But it's like, you're right. It's all about the destination, the circumstance. Like, travel is very fluid and it changes every time you do it.
Definitely. So of course, when it comes to be more, when I want to be more in interaction with like locals, of course, it's not a recommended way to do a all organized bus round trip where you don't have any any chance of social interaction. But yeah, if time is the limiting factor, it sometimes helps to see a lot of different things in a very short time frame, especially if you have a local guide who is fluent in a, for you, very yes. exotic language where you have no chance to find out any details or get some information which you really need. And yeah. On the other hand, if you have a lot of time and you can just go with the flow, experience different things, speak to locals, speak to fellow travelers who have experienced the whole place, and yeah, then I think it's a very good way to compose your travel itinerary on the way and maybe explore some things which are not found on the internet or on the big travel blogs. And which are obvious, basically. So the hidden gems, I think you can find still today, but only if you have time and speak to locals and not with a very structured, ahead planned schedule, I would say.
Yeah, and I'm sure with all of those hidden gems you found that you've also found some weird souvenirs throughout your travels. So I'd love if you'd share one with us.
Yeah, I was smiling about your question and thinking about one of my most strange souvenirs. So I bought a voodoo fetish on I think the world's biggest voodoo market in Lomé in Togo. It's in a very small country in West Africa. I have been there backpacking in 2019. It's a very off the beaten track destination on the West African coast. And this is the home, I would say, of the voodoo religion. And voodoo is what we know from our movies. It's always something with some evil spirits and some weird, some weird puppets with needles yes. and stuff. So it's all evil and bad. But voodoo is an official religion in this region. And from there, with the slaves and the slave trade, it basically traveled to all over the world and all the places voodoo is also known today, like I think Haiti and Dominican Republic, the Caribbeans. I think voodoo is really big there as well. But it's also a very positive religion. And one positive part are the small, they call it fetish, and fetish are small items which protect you from evil spirits. And I bought one which they say if I use it correctly when I travel, it means travel safety, or it helps to be secure on the way, and you need to kind of activate it before you start your journey, and then you keep it with you all the time, and then kind of deactivate it when you are back home safely. And it was, I don't know, especially being there on this voodoo market, it has a lot of to do with animal parts of animals, skulls, bones, and so on. You see from it's like a zoo. You see every kind of animal there, but the skull the bones, or maybe even a tri version of a monkey or something like this. And they use it as kind of medicine. It's like a pharmacy for believers of the voodoo religion, and they are sent there from their priests, and for every single disease or something you need, they recommend something to buy from there, and they prepare some mixture or some pill, whatever. So it was really impressive being there, and it's so what I mentioned in the introduction, it's so such an exotic place and so far from what we know about religion and about doctors and so on, that was really interesting.
So for your the fetish, can you describe a bit about like what it looks like and how you activate it?
It's a small, it looks like a small stick, size of a, I would say, a battery. Normal battery used back in the days for Walkman. And it has some small string attached and some very sharp small stick attached to this rope. And there is a hole in it. And to activate it, you stick the stick into the hole. And then, it's being activated.
Cool.
It looks a little bit like the, not it looks like, but it feels like a little bit like the needle and the puppet to stick it into.
Yeah.
And to deactivate it, you detach it basically. And get the thing out.
Cool.
And now it's in my cupboard and waiting for the next adventure being activated.
I'm sure like the airport security guards are going to be very confused if they ever find that in your carry-on. They're going to be like, what is happening?
I think it would be a long story to describe what it is and why is it, what is it for, but luckily it's wood and rope or something. So it's natural. I think it's not detected by any scanner or something like this. So no questions.
Voodoo knows how to sneak by the TSA. That's an important fact.
Yeah, definitely they do.
That's amazing. Well, now we'd love to hear your tripping up story of a time when travel didn't go quite as you expected.
Yeah, so my story today is my involuntary traveling planning from the past. So my story is from 2014, which is from nowadays perspective, a few years back. But still, in this time, I was expecting to have like Wi-Fi at the airport. And you can do a lot of planning on the way. And but this journey went a little bit differently. I was traveling to Cuba. I was on the way back from a business trip in Mexico and had a few days stop over in Cuba. Had planned basically nothing but the accommodation. Arrived at Havana Airport and for those of you who know Cuba a little bit, there is some things are not quite as we know it from our from our countries when it comes to infrastructure and so on still today. And there was no Wi-Fi at the airport. There was nothing you can organize there. There was no possibility to just book some or look up what is the best way to go into the city. And so I needed to ask people, start asking. Then I'm used to just, I don't exchange money anymore when I go to a trip. I just go there and I have my credit card, which you can use in every country. You go to the first ATM you see, which are normally plenty at the airport or at every central station or wherever you go, there are ATMs. There was an ATM, but I was very surprised to learn that Cuba had these days two different currencies, which I never heard of. And I was very confused and no idea what to do, why two currencies. I needed to start asking people. There was a very friendly Russian woman who helped me out and explained at least about the different currencies. You have the Cuba convertible peso, which is called, or the abbreviation is CUC, C-U-C. And it's basically attached to the dollar. It's worth like $1 all the time. And they have some more, I would say, local currency, the normal Cuban peso, abbreviation is CUP. And you need 25 CUPs or Cuban pesos for $1. So a very different exchange rate. And the next days I learned that you use the different currencies for different things. in everyday life. So as a tourist, you can easily mix it up, kind of, or maybe they even use your confusion to charge a lot more. It's not that you pay, I don't know, a few cents more. You have a bad exchange rate. You had a bad bargain, like in Asia, where you bargain about your transport, and you know, okay, it's a little bit more expensive than normal, but okay, let's go. No, it's like you pay for something which costs 20 cents, you pay $5. So you pay hundreds of percent more when you mix up those exchange rates. And I was standing there at the airport, totally confused what is going on. And luckily, this Russian lady who was very familiar with Cuba and everything over there, she helped me out with the first money. We went together to the city center by taxi, which she could pay. She guided me to my casa. The casa is the accommodation, or a typical accommodation in Cuba. And over there, there was one guy who helped me out with everything, a Canadian who was familiar as well with Cuba. And this travel planning was a lot of asking, talking to people. It was not sitting alone in your hotel room, surfing a little bit in the Wi-Fi and just go to the first blog article of the 10 most amazing things you can do in Havana. So I was totally unprepared. I had no idea about Havana. I had no idea where I am exactly. You cannot use Google Maps on the way, or at least those times. Maybe today you have a local SIM card or something like this. Everything is so easy, so comfortable. But those days I didn't know anything, or we had no possibility. There was basically no Wi-Fi. There was no cafe to go to with Wi-Fi. There was a very expensive 5-star hotel in the whole area. So I was staying in the city or in the area of Vedado. And I think there was, maybe it was around $10 for 1 hour of Wi-Fi. Which you can use there. And I was the next day, I arrived very late, went to bed, and the next day I went to the kitchen of the small casa, and there was a German couple, and they had a Lonely Planet on their table, and I was never so happy to see a book on the other table, because that was my rescue out of my that I didn't know anything. I'm German, so I asked them, I went to this table and said, okay, can you please for 10 minutes please give me your Lonely Planet, because I need some basic information, what is going on in the city. And lucky enough, they said they needed to pick up their rental car. It will take 1 hour maybe, and in this time I can have my coffee, have a breakfast, and you can have the Lonely Planet just to go through. And afterwards they will come back to the casa, pick up their luggage and leave. And in this hour I basically by hand copied as much as possible of the Lonely Planet. I did some drawings about maps. I noted everything which I can found in this book as valuable information, because I had no idea. You have no maps, you have nothing. I think there is no big tourist information in Havana. And it was strange. It was as I imagined travel planning like 20-30 years ago. And especially when you are used to travel to a country and being completely unprepared, I think Cuba was very, very hard in the beginning, especially. And then you need to note all this different informations I got from this man who was living in the casa, the Canadian. He explained everything about history, about especially the two different currencies. You have these famous old cars in Havana, and for example, these ones you pay in this cheap local currency. So if they charge you in the other one, and that's what they try, you pay, as I mentioned, a lot more than what you need to do. And we also passed an ice cream shop in our neighborhood, and they had also two different queues, two different lines. They had one line, which looks like a express line, where you can pay in this, I would say, more expensive currency for, I don't know, maybe one ball of ice cream was $1 or Cuban dollar, which is not expensive. But the other one also costed one Cuban peso, which is, you know, when you do the convertible or the exchange rate, was really, really, really cheap. And this line, yes. I don't know, several hundred meters around the block, because that was where all the people, or especially the locals, the.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I guess more poor people went to this line. And if you just pay in the other currency, which is maybe hundreds of percents more, you're the first in line. So... but without knowing about these different currencies, you have no idea what is going on there, because you feel like a VIP guy going to the front of the line and say, okay, I buy one ball of ice cream, here's your dollar, which is for us, it's not very expensive, but if you know that you can have one ball of ice cream for 5 cents, then it's a totally different story. So for me, it was so different than just having a summary ready, leave the casa and go to explore. And you needed to explore, I would say, with different senses a little bit more. You're a little bit more curious about your environment. I had no stories about is this environment now a little bit more dangerous, because I had no time to plan or to write everything down, to have this what we mentioned in the introduction, some very structured schedule of what to do, what are my 10 highlights I want to see today. What is you just there and you want to look up what is the entry fee again for this and that attraction, what is the best cafe in the old town, and so on. And you just need to go and explore. You observe more your surroundings. You don't look all the time on... Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, that was my phone showing me that it's low battery, but it's okay.
Oh, okay. no worries.
Yeah, you need to focus more on your environment, seeing everything with different eyes, without just looking at your Google Maps on your mobile and walking around just straightway. You start more interaction with the locals because you need to ask a lot of things. You don't have your answers on your phone. And it was also a little bit the feeling of being cut off in these days of WhatsApp and FaceTime videos and sending pictures all day and have your Insta story 5 minutes later online. It was also my personal decision of not investing hundreds of dollars in this expensive Wi-Fi spot, which you could do. You could go to this five-star hotel and use the Wi-Fi for several hours if you like. But I decided just to go there once and texting my parents that, okay, I'm in Cuba now. Things are a little bit different than expected. And I'm well. I will not send any message the next days. Take care, goodbye. And that was all you heard from me for several days. Also, my friends didn't get any messages. And especially my flatmates were very worried because when you ask someone how are you? And he's not replying. And then after some hours or days, you send another message. Oh, are you fine? What is going on? And still no reply. People get worried nowadays. Because I had no connection, I had no SIM card, I had no Wi-Fi. I was really cut off and just experienced, I would say, everything a little bit deeper than what we do today, I think. Mm-hmm. So also today or in exotic countries, I very often appreciated that you don't have Wi-Fi everywhere, just maybe in the morning in your hotel or in your hostel or wherever at your host, and maybe in the evening to check some things, maybe to secure some pictures in the cloud and so on. And for the rest of the day, you don't have to worry about your phone and your messages and your emails and your Instagram or whatever. And I was a little bit sad about it when I was traveling in Europe over the last years, where for us Germans now everything is just one big net union, so I can use my SIM card basically in every EU country, and you have connection everywhere. Suddenly you can use your phone non-stop, doesn't matter where you are. It feels like home. On every bus stop you can use your phone, and it's different. So it was a little bit or a big struggle, I would say, in the beginning in Cuba, but in the end I really appreciated this kind of travel, being out of connection and not just on flight mode with your phone, but really with no possibility of just going to the next cafe to have Wi-Fi. And I think I experienced a lot of nice things, especially with people I spoke to, because I had to speak to them because I needed the information. And don't be shy, just ask. And you had to ask. So it was a very nice experience from my point of view. What I heard from friends who traveled to Cuba before the pandemic or right before the pandemic, I think now they have at least some Wi-Fi hotspots everywhere in the city. So I think also these times are over, where in certain spots in Havana you don't have Wi-Fi, or maybe in the whole city. And it's, I think, easier for future travelers, but also sometimes I'm very glad to have experienced some things like this, where you have this travel planning as 30 years ago and seeing a city with different eyes and being more focused on your environment instead of your phone and the outer world or surroundings, I would say, that you try to escape from home and from your everyday life where you're also very focused on mails and messages. So
yeah, well, yeah. And it, like you said, it let you meet all those people that I'm sure, like, yeah, most people go to their casa or any hostel around the world, and like you kind of do sit there with your breakfast, like a little bit alone. You kind of go through your day. Yeah, you scroll Instagram and you don't chat with the people around you. Like, it really, it does change it when you don't have access to those things.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm going to share my story with you now.
Sure.
It's a similar story. So back in 2010 or 2011, I don't exactly remember the year. I was 16 and I moved to Italy by myself, which was my mom was very on board for it. My dad was a bit shocked. So I like packed up and took off. But back then, like you said, like there, you didn't get internet everywhere. And although Italy is quite a big travel destination, so maybe in Rome you would have, I was staying in this little town called Atri, which is like, if you picture the boot of Italy, it's like at like the back, like just above the heel almost. And it's so it's like this little hilltop town with like maybe 500 people. And we were living in this hotel in the town because there was nowhere else to put us. Like there were not spare houses. There was nothing extra. The town is like exactly how much it needs and not a drop more. If you like needed an extra house, you got to come in from outside the town. So we were living in this little hotel and it's like filled with like 15, 16 year olds at this point. So of course, that time, like we're used to at home, like being on our computer all day, being on Facebook, being like chatting with everybody all the time. And now we have to keep in contact with our family too. But this hotel is so old and so small that it only gets like internet service right in the stairwell that runs through like the center of, and it's like, I say hotel, it was like three stories. Like it's not a hotel like you would picture, like nothing big, like a privately run hotel. The same family has run it. They still do to today, which is lovely. But this stairwell, like you would just find every day, all, I think there were like 12 of us just like draped down the stairs, all of us on our laptops, trying to get just enough internet to send one email to our parents that was like, I'm still alive, send money, like we need more money for cookies and like pizza. which was, I think, like you said, it was a really interesting time because like we didn't have maps of the area. You kind of wandered and hope for the best. And I'm very much a wanderer. So like I would just go for like 2 hour walks every day and just see where I ended up and hope to God I would find my way back, which like I did luckily. So, cause at least like we lived at like the highest point of the town. So as long as you were going uphill, you kind of knew you would get home eventually. Like you said, it's very interesting. Cause like you do connect with people. When I would get lost, I would just like meet random Italians. The Italians are like the nicest people, but they also have no concern for their own safety. So like they just leave their door open all day. And if you walk past, they're like, hey, come on in, we're making food. And you're like, I don't speak Italian. What's happening? And they will. They'll just try to adopt you. Like they'll be like, come on in. And you're like, am I going to die? Are you going to die? What's happening in North America? We don't do this.
Yeah, exactly. It's so nice. It's so nice because that's so unknown for us. I think also people around the world are friendly, but being invited to someone's house just randomly and being invited for food or something, especially if you don't speak the language, you need to go to special places. And I think that won't happen in Rome or Venice. Very nice. Sounds great, this area.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, that's what's so lovely is with places like this that like I know Havana isn't off the beaten path anymore, but it kind of is compared to a lot of Western travel that most people do, where it is a very different experience, even now with their like few hotspots and everything. But I think like and I actually went to Germany a number of times in the last few years and lived there. I lived in Berlin for a month, or like 2 months actually. But even that, you can so clearly tell the difference because like Germany is, even in like the more remote parts, it's connected. Everything is really clear. I mean, there's like maps posted, like you're going to find your way. I mean, there's one currency, so that helps a lot, but like, you know how much your glue wine is going to cost. No one's going to try to like fake another currency for you.
Yeah, that makes things more easy. And normally I would have never expected that you need to inform yourself about the currency or different currencies before you travel to a country. Yeah, as I mentioned, you just go to the ATM and get some money. And if the beer is $1 or $5, that's the price and you just pay. And beautiful.
Well, and now that we've kind of wrapped up our times when travel went awry, I like to end the show on a travel triumph, something that like reminds our listeners that travel is worthwhile even when things go a bit askew.
Yeah, as I mentioned, after the first confusion and the first struggles, I had a great time. And not only Havana, Cuba as a whole, but a lot of destinations I have traveled to, travel reminds us or helps us to remember that we need to be thankful for what we have, because from my point of view, we are so privileged, and in our everyday life we simply forget about what we have and what we achieved, and we complain about everything. I think especially Germans are very good in complaining about it's too hot, it's too cold, whatever we are complaining about, and worry about things that from a different perspective are really not worth it to worry about. And when you leave your own comfort zone and your society and your background and go to travel to special areas, you learn a lot of those things, being thankful for things which in your country are it's clear that they are there. You never question something like running water or the condition of streets.
I was just gonna say, I so often make that mistake of like, even if running water is safe somewhere else, like coming from Canada, ours is really, really good. And I forget that I have a very sensitive stomach. So like, I've gotten sick around the world in nice places where water is definitely fine from the tap, but it's just like, you forget that you're not home. So you do make that mistake.
Definitely. Yeah. So I, especially when I was traveling in West Africa, I became sick some days, and it was not malaria, but we needed to check. I went to a hospital several days, and I need to take a very, very bumpy road. It was awful. Even a 4x4 was only had only the speed of walking, because the road was so bad. And I had to go there for several hours each day because of being so sick. And these days I said, okay, I will never complain about a red traffic light when I'm back home in Germany, because at least you stay there and wait. You just have to wait a few seconds, or maybe if it's really worse, some minutes or 1 minute. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's the time of the red traffic light. You don't have to think about a bad road and going slow because of the road. And even today, I try to remember when you're back home, it's really simple to complain about the red traffic lights again. But from time to time, these thoughts come back to my mind and I say, okay, remember those bumpy roads, remember the nights where you didn't have running water in your facility, where we had some kind of fountain in the courtyard, or what were the living conditions of people over there without electricity, and so on. And that's my key message, I would say. To that, travel helps us to experience these situations coming home more reflected and more thankful about the things what we have, and how privileged we are that we have the money to travel and being healthy and so on. So that's beautiful, and that's what you learn when you're abroad.
Yeah, and I think that's an amazing travel triumph. We haven't had that one before, but I think you're so right that like it really puts everything in perspective. And I really appreciate you sharing your perspective today with us, Phil. Thank you so much for joining us on Tripping Up.
You're welcome.
Perfect. Okay, and stop the recording.
Perfect. Attention passengers, we've now reached our destination. We hope you enjoyed the flight and have a nice day.
I'm still not sure if I could just show up somewhere and like not have things planned because I'm so type A, but Phil really made it work for him when he was abroad. And I think that Cuban now might be a little bit different, so you might be able to get away with it. If you'd like to hear more from Phil, check out his blog, journication.de. That's the German equivalent of .com for anyone wondering. My favorite article on his site is all about backpacking in West Africa. First of all, never been to Africa. Second of all, never thought to backpack. But after reading his blog and seeing how he goes into the history, meets the locals, gets out of the big cities and the kind of traditional places to go, and learns some cool stuff about voodoo culture, I think I might have to add this to my bucket list. I hope you guys check out his blog and find out even more amazing things to do around the world. If you'd like more from me, check out ninaoutandabout.ca. I recommend some of my more tame backpacking in North America to get you ready for the intense advanced levels that Phil does abroad. That's it for this week. See you soon. Cheers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.